Welcome, everybody, to Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. Hope everybody had a wonderful day. It's getting chilly out there, so I hope everybody is making sure that you dress warm and, you know, just wintertime is coming up. We got the holidays coming up, and, you know, you want to make sure that you're dressing warm and, of course, that you're eating right for the holidays. I know there's going to be a lot of family getting together and, you know, people coming together for Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything. But if you're on a holistic health path, don't slack up because it's the holidays and you're around other people that might not eat like you do. Invite them into your world, you know. Take them out to a nice vegetarian restaurant or prepare a nice vegan meal for them and let them know how you live and what you eat. You know, this would be a great opportunity for you to show them how you do things and why you're so healthy. And so, you know, make sure that, again, don't slack up because the weather's changing, okay? This is a time when a lot of people start coming down with things, the flu and all kinds of stuff. So you might have to redouble your efforts to stay healthy. Make sure you're drinking your water and getting your rest and taking your supplements and eating right. So make sure that you don't, again, slack up for the holidays, okay? My name is Jawanza, and I want to thank you so much for your time. I certainly do appreciate you. I don't take you for granted. As I always say, you could be doing something else. Well, today, as you know, is Dr. Ruby's Day. She comes on every second Thursday of the month. We are very, very fortunate and blessed to have someone of her caliber, her expertise, and her knowledge to come on and to share about different aspects of holistic health. And today, we're going to be talking about an area that she is very, very familiar with, and that is the reversing and the curing and the prevention of cancer. If you've been following us for a while, you know that she's got an awesome testimony of actually overcoming cancer herself, thyroid cancer, after the, quote, experts, doctors, told her that they wanted to remove her thyroid gland. She decided, no, that's not the way this is going to go. I'm going to be the doctor in this, and this is how it's going to go. And thank God she took matters into her own hands. And as a result of that, doing the research and then stepping out on faith and facts. I mean, it's one thing to step out on faith, but you got to have facts to back up that faith. So she stepped out on faith and facts, and as a result of that, changed her whole life. And we're here to tell you today that cancer can be cured naturally. It can be prevented naturally. So let me tell you a little bit about my special guest today, Dr. Lathan, in case you're just tuning in for the first time and you're not familiar with her. Dr. Lathan is a certified holistic nutritionist and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Ruby inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Ruby worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer and now teaches others how to re-engineer their health and to live disease-free. Dr. Lathan's a graduate of the University of Alabama and served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the National School Lunch Program. She is host of the Veggie Chest, which is a plant-based cooking show. And through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, Dr. Lathan hosts a number of health conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultation. So if you feel like that's something that you need, to have a customized nutritional consultation, we'll tell you how you can do that during the course of the show as well. So let me just welcome my special guest, Dr. Lathan. It's always a pleasure, my sister. Great to have you back. Oh, man, I'm looking for another powerful show. Welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine.
Thank you. Thank you. Always good to be here.
You know, I know that this show is going to be really, really powerful, as they all are when I'm speaking with you. But we talk about a lot of things on this show. We talk about different forms of disease, different forms of cancer, different forms of health conditions and how they can be prevented and reversed if you happen to, you know, have the unfortunate fate of having coming down with some condition. We let you know not only how to prevent it, but if you're unlucky enough to get it, you can actually reverse it. And that goes from arthritis to diabetes to most conditions that you can ever come down with. But today we're going to be talking about a condition that you personally know about, which is the how to treat, reverse, prevent cancer. In your particular case, it was thyroid cancer. Again, and I never get tired of hearing your testimony. Can you just share how your experience with thyroid cancer actually changed your life and brought you to the work that you're doing now?
Sure. It was, it's one of those things that, as they say, changes your life. And it definitely did that for the positive. I was diagnosed with that back in 2007, so it's been 10 years now. And I decided to look into alternative or natural treatment for it. As you mentioned in the intro, I didn't want to do the traditional stuff, the surgery, and have to be dependent upon medication. So I started researching and found a lot of information about diet and cancer and a lot of other diseases. And so I switched to a plant-based diet because that seemed to be the most effective diet in helping to alleviate many conditions, including cancer. So that's what I did. And a year later, after following that diet, along with lots of supplementation and lifestyle changes, stress reduction, all of that, mm-hmm. I was able to reverse the cancer and become cancer-free. And so I, decided to help other people do the same thing. So that's how I got here, and just teach people, I like to be on the preventative side of things. I guess that's what we're talking about tonight, but also helping to reverse conditions as well.
You know, it's interesting when I hear your testimony. You made a lifestyle change. We all, those of us who are on a holistic health path, we know and we've researched and we've come to believe that, and not just believe but know that if you can change your diet, you can change your life. And a lot of emphasis is focused and placed on the diet, and it should be. But you mentioned other things as well. You mentioned stress reduction. I mean, there was a lifestyle change. You incorporated, I'm sure, some exercise in there, as well. You actually changed your life. And what's interesting about people, there are some certain people, when they might come down with something, they might know that or assume that I could do a little better in this area. I know I need to eat a little bit better or whatever. But to make a complete lifestyle change and, being faced with someone telling you that you have something that could kill you, that's enough motivation to do that, to make those changes that are necessary. But that doesn't make it any less easy, I don't think. I mean, because when you're faced with something, you might have the motivation, but it can still be hard, to make those changes.
Right.
When you made the other lifestyle changes, you mentioned stress reduction. Did you incorporate yoga or any? Was that part of that routine? And what other, aside from just the dietary changes that you make to help, that you feel contributed to your negative result? When I say negative result, in terms of the cancer coming back negative after a year.
I mean, it started with jobs that I wasn't really excited about anymore. So changing that, that was a big source of stress. Definitely exercise and meditation. I think I was already exercising some, so it was really the meditation and visualization that really helped calm things down. And then just, learning to say no. And not realizing I can't please everybody and I should start with myself first and, not have so many commitments and things like that. And just, kind of just taking charge of my life again instead of just kind of going with the flow, whether that meant, being overworked and overcommitted and things like that. Getting rid of any negative relationships you know, whether it's work or just personal relationships, things that was important. So all of those things together, it was a complete change. So but I think, you know, most it was cutting back on commitments and changing, you know, quitting my job and changing into a different avenue altogether. So all of that, it was a big thing, and just addressing unaddressed things, things that need to be done or said or whatever, you know, addressing those things, because a lot of times holding things in and not addressing things, with whether it's at work or personal or with your children, with your family, or just friends, long-term unresolved issues can lead to illness. And so I decided to dive into all of that and make the changes that needed to be changed.
You know, you mentioned telling people no, being able to say no to people. For a lot of people, that's a big thing. I mean, there are people out here, I'm sure you know, you've been through that, but there are a lot of people that might not really realize just how huge a thing that is. Just people wrestle with that. You know, they feel that if they say no to somebody, that, you know, they go through a guilt thing. You know, am I being selfish, or, you know, what are they going to think about me? What if they don't like me anymore? I mean, go through all those changes. Could you just talk about that for a moment, just to be able, the power that comes along with being able to stand your ground and not yield into doing something that you want to do, can't do.
Right. Yeah, that's really important. I mean, because just for all those reasons, we want to, you know, not make any waves or disappoint anyone, but in the process of doing that, we can kind of lose ourselves. So it's very empowering, and knowing that, you know, your likability is not predicated on whether you can always do what people want you to do. And if it is, then they need to be let go anyway. So so understanding that and being willing to accept it, I think, is really important. So so that's really part of self-assurance, self-acceptance, and self-preservation, is knowing your limits and making sure you leave time for yourself, and not overcommit and overdo to the point where you're not happy because you're trying to make everybody else happy. And then there's an imbalance, and that imbalance causes a problem.
You know, and in your case, even being able to tell your doctor no when the doctor made the suggestion or recommendation about, you know, concerning what he felt was best to do with your thyroid or how to treat your condition, for you to be able to have the power to say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I disagree. We're going to do this. I mean, that was empowering in and of itself. And we want to encourage people that are listening to this show, if you find yourself in a situation where the doctor has made a recommendation or a suggestion and it doesn't feel right, you can say no and get a second opinion, or you can say no and start doing some research and finding ways in which you can, you know, empower yourself, maybe even come up with a treatment plan, maybe call Dr. Lathan and let her help you come up with a treatment plan. But tonight we're going to be talking about cancer. Again, you heard Dr. Lathan's testimony, how she, you know, doctors gave her a bad report, and in the end, you know, she got a good report. It wasn't a death sentence. You know, it actually changed her life. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. For those people, Doc, who don't know what cancer is, we hear the word all the time. Everybody knows somebody that's died of it, died from it, or at least they say that the death was as a result of the cancer, but it could have actually been because of the treatment. But, you know, when people hear that term cancer, so that our listeners know what exactly the doctor is saying. When the doctor says, you know, hey, I'm sorry to let you know, inform you, but we've run these tests and they come back and the cells are cancerous. What exactly does he mean technically when he says that? What is he saying to the patient?
Yeah, well, basically it means that it's abnormal cells are present and they're they're uncontrolled in their growth. So cells have a DNA, or we have DNA that tells the cells what to do, and they all have jobs, and they're supposed to do X, Y, and Z. When there's abnormal cells, there are cells that are basically have gone rogue. They don't have they're not following the blueprint that they've been given, and they grow at an abnormal rate. And so they're out of control. So that's what cancer is. It's just abnormal cells that have gone rogue and are just doing their own thing, which in a lot of cases can end in death.
Hmm. You know, what's interesting is just how you just presented it. And you could tell that Dr. Lazen's cured cancer because it's like, you know, just some rogue cells, you know, just some cells that have gone rogue, you know. She's done this. She's cured this. I mean, you know, so it's not like this big monumental thing. Of course, to somebody who's just getting the report, it is very monumental. But if you know what to do to, you know, heal your body, you can not only, again, prevent but reverse condition such as cancer. So cancer, these cells going rogue, come from a lot of different things. It could be from food. It could be, you know, you sitting in front of a computer all day and you're getting all of this radiation being radiated every day. I mean, it could be from a different, you know, breathing in, you know, living in an area where you're just breathing in bad air all day long. I mean, a lot of things, living near a toxic waste dump. I mean, a lot of different things can cause it. But regardless of what causes it, the cure is going to be the same, correct? I mean, the reversal of this condition, regardless of whether it's breast cancer, thyroid cancer, colon cancer, I mean, you might specialize in a particular, you know, you might zoom in or, you know, treat a particular area with a high dosage of particular vitamins or whatever, but the basics are going to be the same regardless of what type of cancer it is. You're going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to drink more water. You're going to have to stop doing certain things. The microwave has got to go. Is that correct? Certain things are just going to have to be basic for regardless of what type of cancer it is?
Right. There are some baseline things you can do. I mean, there are different types of cancers do respond to different types of medical treatments differently, and some types of cancers grow faster, and then depending on where the cancer is, it all is different. But from a natural perspective, the baseline things are going to be the same, everything that you just said. So you're going to have to, you know, reduce the toxins going into your body. You're going to have to definitely have adequate water to process, get toxins out of the body. You're going to need to eat lots of fiber to remove toxins from the body. You're going to have to boost your immune system so that it can do its job. All of those things are going to be basic for any cancer, and then you can be more specific based on the types of cancers in terms of some supplementations and things like that.
Well, you know, I have a question because it's been said, and, you know, I was actually doing some research online today, and but I had heard this prior, and I'm sure that you have too, that every 7 to 10 years, and, you know, the numbers change depending on who you ask or what study you're looking at, but some of the ones I saw today were basically saying from every 7 to 10 years that the body rejuvenates itself, you know, that you get new cells, that the body is constantly producing new cells, old cells die, new cells replace them, and that approximately every 7 years or 10 years, again, depending on the study you look at, the body basically renews itself. So with that being the case, or if that is in fact the case, cells that are cancerous obviously don't, now again, this study, but this particular study said every 7 to 10 years. I actually saw a different study that was basically saying that red blood cells rejuvenate every 4 months, white blood cells on an average of more than a year, skin cells every 2 to 3 weeks, colon cells every 4 days, and on and on and on. But you would think that with this constant renewing that the old cancerous cells could possibly fall off or die off or whatever, Because, again, we've heard that. We've heard that every so often the body rejuvenates itself. Have you heard that yourself? I'm sure that you've possibly heard that that takes place, depending, again, on the time, depending on the study.
Absolutely, yeah. The cells do regenerate. I mean, we basically, over a few months, kind of turn over all new cells in about 3 or 4 months. So absolutely, we're almost a new person every 3 or 4 months in terms of our cells. So that absolutely does happen. So it gives us an opportunity to do a lot of repair to our bodies and fixing, and that's why, you know, the body responds so quickly a lot of times because, you know, as new cells are being developed and all of that are repaired and we're giving it good stuff, then you get better results. So absolutely, it's a good thing that, that we have this regeneration every few months.
So when a person goes to the doctor, the medical doctor, their medical doctor, and the doctor tells them that they've been diagnosed with cancer, any type form of cancer, and they say that, well, doc, you know, I just listened to a show on holistic health. I listened to another doctor, Dr. Lathan, who was saying that cancer can be reversed and it can actually, you know, be prevented and reversed. And the doctor says, well, that you know, that's no, actually, cancer is incurable. When they're saying to the patients that the cancer is incurable, my guess is that based upon the treatment that they've been using, yeah, it is incurable. If you're going to, you know, give the body allopathic medicine that's full of toxins, yeah, it's incurable. But in addition to that, they haven't studied this in school, right? I mean, my understanding is that most doctors that have gone, you know, well, most doctors that have gone to medical school, those who went to medical school have found that they didn't take nutrition in their studies, and so they wouldn't know, and so their only conclusion could be that it is incurable. Your take?
Absolutely. They're speaking according to what they can provide treatment for. So within the realm of their capability and, you know, tools that they're going to use, to them it is incurable. So to them they're making a correct statement. So it should be qualified with, based upon what I know and what I can do for you, this is not curable.
And, you know, I think that there's
but it's not a true statement that it's not curable, as many people can testify to.
Can you talk about the fear factor for a moment? Because when somebody goes to the doctor and the doctor tells them that, you know, they've run every test, or let's say you take somebody who has had been diagnosed with cancer, okay, and they go on this regimen. They heard this show and they're like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna become vegan. I'm gonna let go of all of stuff. I'm gonna stop the microwave. I'm gonna stop all these things. And then they go back to the doctor in several months and the doctor says, it's still here. You know, what would you suggest to the patient? Now, I know that you're an advocate of getting your own medical records, first of all, and reading it for yourself so that you can see, you can monitor the numbers, whatever number is going to be the number by which the, you know, progression or regression of the condition is determined. You need to see that for yourself. You need to lay your own eyes on it, not just trust somebody else with that information because it's your life. But when it comes to that, what would you say to somebody who has gone to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, you know, you've been trying your stuff, but, you know, the number is still, it's still what it is. And as a matter of fact, the number might have even grown, or, you know, grown, when I say grown, progressed in a way where the condition is maybe, according to the doctor, worse than it was when you started your holistic treatment. You know,
right. I mean, it does happen. I mean, it takes a lot. By the time the body is so compromised with cancer that it's showing up and having symptoms, it's been there for a while. So, you know, when we talk about cell regeneration, doesn't mean like every 3 or 4 months you're like a baby, you know, where you have 100%, you know, we still have those same tissues and things like that that have been, in, you know, inundated with cancer cells. And so a lot of times when you're doing a holistic approach, you maybe aren't doing enough to overcome from where you started, because cancer's taken a very strong hold and is really metastasized or something like that, or is, you know, still growing. It just means that your immune system has not gotten to the point yet where it can overpower the cancer, and that's why it's a balance, you know, with time and how strong your body is and how committed you are to doing a plan and making sure that plan is the right plan for you. So there are a lot of factors there, but a lot of times either, you know, immune system is so compromised, it just needs more help to get to that point to start turning things around. And sometimes there's not time for that. So we have to use a combination of, you know, allopathic and natural medicine or something. So, that's why you could get a, you know, negative result, or, you know, things could continue to grow, or you know, the plan that you're using naturally isn't adequate, isn't strong enough, isn't aggressive enough, and that can be one of the issues as well. So it means it's time to do something a little different, double up on what you're doing, or take an additional approach to make sure your body's getting what it needs to fight.
Well, what about remission? Let's talk about that for a moment, because a lot of times people's condition might go into, quote, remission, end quote, and does that just mean that the levels are so low now that they're undetectable? And I assume remission would be a good thing, and that from the standpoint that it's not, that you can't, you know, that it's, that the levels are low, but it's still there. I mean, could you talk about remission? And even what certain things that are dormant in the body that are just totally undetected. There are some conditions that a person might have and go years, decades, and not even know they had a particular thing. But remission, when a doctor says, "Oh, the cancer's gone into remission," basically, is he saying or she saying that it's just gotten to the levels are so low that we can't detect it? And how do they know if something is in remission, if they can't detect it, that it's not cured? And if it is cured, you know what I'm saying? Because some things do come back.
Right. So, you know, to me, it's almost a proper use of the word for people who are doing traditional medicine, remission, because it does mean that it's not detectable. And they're basically shying away from saying you're cured. Because what often happens is a few years later, it comes back somewhere else or in the same area or something, depending on, you know, whatever treatment was done. And that's oftentimes it comes back, you know, for a number of reasons. It comes back, probably the most common is because no changes were made to lifestyle or diet or anything like that. So what got you there, you're still doing it. And then it just takes a couple of years, again, for the body to develop a new cancer where it's detectable again. So that's why they call it remission, which in that case, if you're not going to do anything different, then it probably is remission, meaning it probably is going to come back if you do nothing different. And oftentimes it comes back somewhere else because you cut out the thing where it was in the first place, so it can't come back there. Then it just pops up somewhere else. Or it comes back in the same place if you just did chemo or radiation or something like that, because that's a weakened area at that point. And so, you know, cancer takes advantage of the weak spots, you know, where we're having issues. So that's why it's called remission, because they really shy away from saying cured, because the instances of recurrence are relatively high for a lot of people. So, but if you are, you know, changing your lifestyle, changing your diet, doing something different, making a concerted effort to stay well, then, you know, you're healed. You're cured. You can claim that. And it most likely won't come back. I mean, there are no guarantees, but the odds are in your favor when you do that.
So when it comes to dormancy, a condition being dormant in the body, it's just that the medical establishment hasn't progressed enough yet to come up with, something to be able to detect something that's not there. I mean, they can detect a lot of stuff, but because they could tell you something was dormant. Let's say, for example, you had a condition. They said it was dormant, lying dormant. But the reality is, I might not have had it at the time. You really might not have had it at the particular time that they're saying, oh, it was lying dormant in your body. Let's say, for example, you could have just got it last week or something, and they're saying that it was dormant in your body. I mean, because if they can't detect it in the first place, how can they say that you've had it all this time and that it was just lying dormant? If they couldn't detect it in the first place, do they now have the capability to say that you had it all along but they just couldn't find it?
I'm not really sure about that. I mean, most cancers don't just pop up like in a week. Usually they take some time and grow. I think the assumption is that if it's, you know, here now and we didn't see it before, it was likely just not active. So dormant could mean that it's not causing any activity. It's not causing your immune system to jump into action, that kind of thing. So it's not doing anything. So it's not raising any red flags, but it's there. And it can be activated or deactivated, and perhaps in that case it's activated. That can be, you know, different. So basically it's saying it's not showing up on certain markers, tests that are markers for cancer activity and things like that. What the guidelines are for calling something dormant or not, you know, I can't really say exactly.
Well, let's talk for a moment about women's health and, you know, cancers that and how women can actually prevent cancers. Women go through a lot of stuff. I mean, women, you know, women know what women deal with, you know, the different issues that confront women, especially below the belt, you know. And you mentioned earlier, well, prior off air, we talked about briefly about Now You Know. Could you talk about Now You Know and, just the impact and importance of women knowing their bodies, and not just knowing their bodies, but knowing what products to use on their bodies and what products can be cancerous, so that, you know, not only for yourself, ladies, but that, you know, your daughters, your family. Can you talk about Now We Know?
Sure. So there are a lot of things that can contribute to cancer and other illnesses that we're dealing with right now. And one of them, you know, is body products and household cleaners and air fresheners and all those things, lotions, toothpaste, soap. All of those things have an impact and go into our bodies and on our bodies, and especially things that we put directly on our bodies or that we breathe in our homes need to be pure too, and that we can't think that we can spray something toxic or wear something that has toxic ingredients in it and it not affect our bodies. And so that's what a lot of times we don't take it that deep, but we should. And so, one of those things is for women, it's the monthly sanitary pads that we use. Generally, the commercial ones are very toxic. They have things called PCBs and dioxins, which are hormone disruptors and are very toxic to the body. They're bleached with bleach and chemicals. Mm. So we're putting that directly onto the skin, bleached products. They're made from some unnatural ingredients as well, wood pulp and plastic, which doesn't let the body breathe. And so all of those type of toxins, you know, that you would use on a monthly basis, you know, and over the years, that's thousands of times, you know, have an effect on the hormones and other things in the body and can be contributors to, you know, hormonal imbalances, fibroids, endometriosis, and cancer. So we, you know, normally you just don't think about those kind of things, but, you know, it's been brought to our attention over the years that, hey, this is a big deal that you shouldn't be putting these toxic products on your body, right, every month, and that it can be very toxic and cancer-causing and disease-causing. So there's new products. They're not really all that new because they've been around, but in other countries, so relatively new to the U.S., but that use all-natural products, that don't use bleached ingredients, that use cotton instead of bleached paper and plastic products, that are breathable, that have a negative ion strip, which causes reduces bacteria and things like that, and reduces odor naturally, and has a positive impact on the body, and also as reliable as the other commercial products, so if not more. So those are so there's a campaign, and you can look it up, called Now We Know, and it will give you a, you know, demonstration on the difference between these type, what's called the Cherish pads versus traditional pads, and we'll talk about the ingredients of each and then the problems with the traditional ones, the commercial ones that we use. And so I encourage women to take a look at that and to definitely make the decision to only put natural products on or in your body or in your home in the air that you're breathing, because those things are very toxifying, and we have to cut the toxins at all levels. And, you know, we know about the food. We know that we should be eating plant-based and clean, organic, healthy, unprocessed food. But there are other things that we need to deal with as well. You know, we talk about relationships and things like that. Then we got to deal with these household things. And this is a big one. So I encourage people to look it up. There's videos all over the web talking about this and the need for the change, and that we can, you know, definitely improve our health with changing this. And then also talks about using, like, tampons, for example, is really not a natural process of stopping the flow of something. Mm-hmm. You let it flow, and, you know, there's things as toxic shock syndrome and things like that. So tampons have never been the best alternative. Especially for long-term use, maybe short-term use here and there if you need to go swimming or something like that, they're great. But if not for everyday use or every monthly cycle using that, and you also want, and because it leaves a residue inside, and so we don't want that either. So those are all things that a lot of us don't think about but need to consider when we're trying to stay well.
So please enlighten me, correct me if I'm wrong. The only purpose of, say, a tampon or a sanitary napkin is to absorb the menstrual blood so that, you know, just to absorb the menstrual blood. Is that the only purpose of the pad? I mean, is it, do some of the pads have perfumes or anything? I mean, is there anything in addition to absorbing it? Is there... do they put perfume in it to, I guess, you know, to deal with odor or whatever? Because I would assume that the perfumes, if not sprayed directly on that area, that even if it's in a pad, that a perfume could be toxic.
Yeah. So they do have perfumed pads and things like that, and that's completely unnecessary and toxic to the body as well. So, yeah, there's really no need for this perfumey smell, which really doesn't cover up anything anyway. It just, it's a bad thing, bad idea. Mm-hmm. That goes for perfumed toilet paper and all the rest. These mm-hmm. things don't need perfume or coloring mm-hmm. on them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would definitely be of concern. And yes, that's the reason for them, is to capture the blood flow.
Nothing more. Just it. Just to do that. That's its only purpose.
That's it. That's it.
Okay.
Yep,
so,
that
okay.
would be it, which is why it's unnecessary to have perfume and other things. But the thing about the Cherish pads is that they have what's called a negative ion strip, which naturally neutralizes odor because it kills bacteria. Now, if you're changing them regularly, odors really shouldn't be a really big deal anyway. And it could be an indication that there needs to be some hormone balancing going on. The negative ion strip helps neutralize that because it neutralizes the bacteria, so there's less odor.
Well, let's talk for a moment then even about bras, because I have heard that women who don't wear bras, okay, have fewer reported issues with breast cancer, and that the ability of the breast to just be as it would naturally be without being restricted by a bra is important, and you know, helps with circulation and all of that. Could you talk about that? The importance of the breast health, you know, because a lot of times people don't, you know, attribute maybe even the constriction of a bra even affecting as it relates to breast cancer in any way.
Yes, that's a good point. Absolutely. It's not just bras, it's really more the underwire bras that are the problem, but you shouldn't wear a bra, you know, 24 hours a day anyway. And the problem with bras, and particularly underwire bras, is that they reportedly can interrupt our lymph nodes and our adrenals and things like that, and kind of interrupt the flow, the blood flow and fluid flow that happens there. And so when you block that flow repeatedly by wearing, you know, really tight undergarments, and particularly the underwire that presses into those areas, sensitive areas, that actually blocks the flow, that can lead to disease. Because it should be, you know, our blood flow and things, circulation, everything should be flowing smoothly. So if you have something that's interrupting, constantly cutting it off or diminishing the flow, then you could see how that would, over time, cause a problem and kind of set you up for problems in those particular areas. You know, so you have things aren't flowing, toxins build up, and then, you know, then you're susceptible to cancers and other things. So so you should not use underwire bras at all. You know, it's hard to find, as women who are listening know, good or nice-looking ones without it, but you can just make a small incision and just pull the underwire right out. And so you can still buy the fancy bras that are all underwire, and just take it really is a tiny little slit, and just take the underwire right out, and then you can go on about your life. So, or, you know, seek out the ones that don't have underwire. And then you definitely want to take it off at night and not sleep in it. That goes for all undergarments, you know, not sleeping in it, letting things breathe and have free circulation is what you really need.
Or you could even go braless. You know, there are women who
could
actually just wear enough, you know, to cover you so that it's not noticeable necessarily that you're braless, but you can actually go braless and wear clothes that cover you sufficiently so that you still look presentable and, you know, don't attract too much attention to yourself.
You could, and depending on the woman, that can be easier said than done, but, that's an option. So we can, you know, take advantage of all of those options, you know, letting it go all together, or, you know, but definitely leaving the underwear out and not wearing them too tight and not wearing them all the time is, you know, is a thing. So, but absolutely you could, you know, it's up to you. Go without if you like.
What about deodorants, Doc? You know, there are a lot of toxic things on the market, like you mentioned, the things that we just you find around the home, whether it be it could be cleaning solutions, or it could be what you put directly on the skin. How important is it to find a deodorant that is not toxic and not just grabbing the cheapest or the name brand off the shelf?
Yeah, well, deodorant's important too. We have to definitely want to use natural deodorants and not use any antiperspirants, because we're supposed to sweat. And when you use an antiperspirant and stop the sweat, again, you're blocking things. Blocking is not good just for the body in general. Blocking flow, blocking circulation, blocking anything is not good for the body, because it needs to move and circulate and transport waste out of the body. So anytime we get in this habit of stopping something that should be happening, like sweat, we create a problem. We create a backup of bacteria and germs. So never use antiperspirants. You can use deodorants. And the deodorant that you use, you have to make sure it doesn't have aluminum in it, because most of the deodorants that are commercial have aluminum. And that's very toxic to the body and the brain. So we have to avoid that altogether, and make sure that that's not in our product. So something, very natural that has no artificial colorings or fragrances, and definitely has no aluminum or sulfates. All of those things are very toxic to the body. So that is something, we have to be very aware of as well. So commercial deodorants that last for 48 hours, that's a no-go. Those are very hard to get off, and so that's mm-hmm. blocking the flow of sweat and other things that needs to happen. And so we got to make sure we're using natural things, that are baking soda based and other things like that, that we're not toxifying our body with very harmful chemicals. So deodorant is a big one as well. No aluminum. And when you start looking at the traditional ones that are in the commercials, almost all of them do, or they're also antiperspirants, which is not a good thing.
You mentioned aluminums and deodorants that have aluminum in it. What about cooking with aluminum? It's a rhetorical question for me, because after listening to, we did a show once and you brought up that, and we actually use parchment paper now. We've not gone back to aluminum since, but just for those who might not have heard that show, what's wrong with aluminum cooking with aluminum, or shall I say aluminum foil even? It's nothing. I mean, the holidays are coming up and everybody wraps their stuff up in Thanksgiving in aluminum, aluminum covers over stuff. I mean, so what's wrong with cooking with aluminum? Or even using aluminum, even if you were going to use it in a toaster or oven.
Right. The problem is that aluminum is toxic to the brain. So obviously if we're cooking our food in it, that leaches into the food and then into our body. So that's the main problem, is that it's a soft metal. When it's heated with food, it definitely leaks into the food very easily, very easy to transfer into food. And so that builds up over time. The body is such a remarkable thing that most things don't just have an effect immediately. They build up over time, and then you start developing illnesses and neurological problems and things like that. They're linked to a lot of nervous system diseases, like dementia and Alzheimer's and other things. That these MS and things like that are linked to it. I'm not saying that's the cause, but they are linked to it. And so we want to reduce our risk on all levels. So we know that aluminum is not healthy for the body and that it causes neurological disorders. So by that definition, knowing that, we should know that cooking in it on a regular basis is going to be toxic. So we want to cook in glass. We want to cook in cast iron, stainless steel, whatever, but not aluminum. No aluminum pans and all of that kind of thing. And even some people have not just the disposable aluminum, but they cook with aluminum pots and pans, and that needs to go too.
What about creams, Doc, back to what we put on our bodies? You know, women are very, very famous for, you know, going out buying all these exotic smelling different types of lotions, you know, for the body or whatever. Brother, you just give a brother a jar of Vaseline, he'll grease, he'll make himself shine. But, you know, as far as women, when it comes to just for beautifying and pampering and, you know, all of this, talk about creams and the importance of being very mindful, sisters, of what, brothers too, of what you put on your skin, because the skin is the biggest organ of elimination, and so you don't want to put anything on it that's toxic, clogging up the pores or anything. Doc, could you talk about the importance of being mindful of the creams and lotions that we use?
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned Vaseline, because, you know, everybody used to use that, but that's very toxic to the body too, so petroleum jelly is a no-go.
Okay.
So that is not something that should be used on the body at all. So that's one, because it's a form of petroleum, and that's not for us. So that causes problems over time. I know we all used to use it at some point, but it is...
Even on the lips, because a lot of times... Grab it and put it on their lips, and for chapped lips or whatever. No, that's a no-no, right?
Right. So that's, yeah, there are many more natural products out there that can be used instead of that, from, you know, shea butter to coconut oil. And so we want to make sure that, you know, we're taking advantage of those and not using, you know, something that's toxic, that's a byproduct of oil refining process, which is really what it is. So it's great because it's like it seals moisture in and all that, but it also doesn't let your skin breathe. But it is a harmful, toxic byproduct of oil refining. So it's not a healthy product for the skin at all. So you'd want to definitely, you know, switch to something natural like shea butter or coconut oil, all the mini oils, even olive oil. So I would say with lotions and things, there are things called sulfites that are very harmful and hormone disrupting that are in most of the perfumed, commercial, popular lotions and things like that, almost all of them that have all those pretty pink and purple colors are unfortunately using artificial colorings that are harmful for the body, and then also using sulfites, which are harmful for the body. Sodium laureate sulfate or something like that, SLS, is one that we want to really avoid. So there are quite a few. So it's just going back to basics, natural stuff, that you can understand. You know, it causes, again, that hormonal imbalance, causing even like autoimmune problems, problems with your cycle and infertility, causing excess estrogen dominance and things in the body. So that's what those chemicals in the lotions and things do. So we have to go natural, make sure you understand what it is. There's a lot of botanicals that go into a lot of lotions and natural, the different oils that you can use that are very healthy, from cocoa butter to coconut oil to shea butter, jojoba oils, all those are very common. So any of that can be used instead of those commercial perfumey colored products. So that would definitely be the recommendation. And then also we mentioned the air fresheners and things like that. Most of those are highly toxic, and spraying those in your home to make them smell good actually tends to coat your lungs, which kind of reduces your lung capacity. Again, very toxic to the body. So that's a no-go as well. So all these plug-ins and things like that, that would be very toxic in your home. So you're toxifying your entire home when you're doing that. You could, an alternative would be to use a diffuser with an essential oil in it instead of, you know, the plug-ins that are using synthetic perfumes to perfume your whole house.
Hey,
they even have natural
careful
air fresheners for the bathroom as well. So,
and for even those who like incense and say, I'll do incense instead, you got to be careful with that too, because some incense is extremely toxic. So you got to find, make sure that you pick your incense wisely too. Start reading, correct, Doc?
Absolutely. That, I agree. And that's why I just prefer essential oils instead. So, but you're right. Yes, some of those, the incense can be toxic too.
You know, Doc, we've covered a lot and given people a lot of things to chew on. Was there anything else you wanted to add? Because we didn't even, we have to do another show on the microwave altogether. You know, any other household items that we might not have touched on that you could just name, at least to stay away from in the last minute or so?
Well, we also have to be careful with candles to make sure that they're natural too, and they don't have any lead in the wicks of the candles. And, you know, soy candles, soy wicks and things like that are good. So you got to go natural with everything. It's just taking this whole natural living to another level. So candles can be bad if they're highly perfumed and using the wrong type of wick. There's definitely clean burning candles. So that's something to look out for. And then cleaning products, you know, these highly toxic bleach and chlorine-based products are not healthy either. You know, so those things that can burn you very easily. So we got to go natural with the cleaning products too. Soap as well, especially the soap we're using on our hands, but even the dishwashing liquid, having all those unnatural things in there too. So anything that goes on your body or in your air or needs to be natural. That's just the rule. So if you're spraying it anywhere in your house, if you're using it to clean, yes, I know we use gloves to clean and things like that, but those fumes are toxic. So we have got to just go natural and find the alternatives to pretty much everything, and then we'll be much better off and not adding a toxin load to our body.
Yeah, I can imagine ammonia. Even if you use gloves, just the smell of it is I can imagine that's extremely toxic.
Yes, it is.
Everybody, be mindful of that. Find your alternatives. Doctor, you going to be anywhere in the area, or even if you're not in the area, because people are going to be, when I say the area, I mean the D.C. metro area, because people are listening to the show all over the world. So you going to be anywhere that you'd like to make the listeners aware of, or you just want to go over to your website and they can just check and find out where you're going to be, what your itinerary is for the next few weeks?
Sure. So I do have an upcoming event on November 19th. It is a so regardless of where you are, you can watch it during a holiday webcast, a cooking demonstration. And then for those in the area who want to come to the area, you can come for the holiday dinner. So every year about this time, we do a webcast of the Veggie Chest, which is my cooking show, which you can find at rubylathan.com. And then, so, but we're doing this live, so we're going to show you how to make some really healthy vegan holiday entrees and dishes so you're ready for the holiday. And when you register, you'll get the link to watch it for free online, as well as get the recipes. So that you can have a healthy and delicious holiday. And then if you're in the area, you can join us at the Civil War, the African American Civil War Museum, where we're going to be filming this live and then stay for the dinner, which is going to be delicious. So we'll be making all the folks jealous who are watching, but those who can come and dig in. So I'm excited. We have another chef, Medea Allen, who's going to be there with me cooking up this good stuff. So, yeah, I would ask that go to my website. Just that's Ruby Lathan, R-U-B-Y-L-A-T-H-O-N.com. And you know, sign up, or you can do rubylathan.com/register, but you'll also find it on the homepage. You'll give you all the details, and you can sign up to watch or join us in person.
Wow, you're making me hungry already just thinking about that. My God. Everybody, make sure, again, you got the holidays coming up. Check her out. Also, the Veggie Chest. Check out the Veggie Chest. You can check it out on YouTube. That's the V-E-G-G-I-E Chest, Dr. Ruby Lathan, and you'll learn, if you're making the transition, ways in which you can make the transition so much smoother. And everybody, I have to just put this out there. You definitely want to get your personalized nutritional consultation, okay? Give Dr. Ruby a contact so that you can get that done. Whatever it is that you've got going on, then, you know, you've heard her testimony in this show. It's powerful. And if you just tuned in late, go back and listen to the start of the show, and you'll hear Dr. Lathan's testimony of how she cured herself of thyroid cancer by changing her lifestyle, okay? And if you're ready to change yours, then you need to get in contact with her and make sure that you get your customized nutritional consultation. Dr. Lathan, thank you so much, again, for all of the work that you do, for all of the people that you do your work for. I see you out there doing stuff everywhere. I mean, speaking in churches, speaking in, you know, doing workshops, lectures, and, you know, getting this information out, spreading the word about holistic health, and, you know, helping the planet to be better, healthier, you know, one person at a time. I pray that God opens and continues to give you much success. You can't get everybody, you can't, what recommendation do you need when somebody is saying, listen, I cured myself of cancer. What more do you need? You know, what more do you need? Go back and listen to her testimony, and your testimony can be the same as hers. Share her information with everybody that you know, because, again, she's healing this planet one person at a time. Dr. Lathan, thank you so much, my sister, for everything. Any parting words?
I hope people can, you know, take the information they've heard, start making changes, phase out the harmful stuff and bring in the natural stuff, and it's definitely worth it to make those changes and just live a healthier life.
You've got the final word, Doc. Thank you so much, my sister. Continue to be blessed, and everybody, can encourage you to get in contact with her. It's time to make the change, and if you're ready, she's the person to help you make it. Dr. Lathan, I'll be in touch. Thank you so much. Peace and blessings. Dr. Lathan?
Good night.
Okay, good night. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. What more do you need to hear? What more do you need to hear? You know somebody that's got cancer, okay? The doctor who recommends chemo, the doctor who recommends radiation, can't say that they've cured themselves of cancer. What better testimony do you need than from somebody who's saying, I did it myself? Not I heard somebody do it, I know somebody who had a cousin whose grandmother's sister's nephew did it, but somebody who said, I did it. And for those who need hope, there's hope. You don't have to die of cancer. When the doctor tells you that there's no cure for cancer, it's because he just truly doesn't know. And now that you've heard somebody who's saying that, in fact, that there is, and it's not a magic pill, it's not something that she's selling you, you're going to cure yourself, just like she cured herself. She went to the store, and instead of getting the bad stuff, she started getting the good stuff. She eliminated the stress from her life. She started exercising. She started researching. And that's what you're going to do. So in reality, we're not making the claim that Dr. Lathan can cure you. We're giving the testimony that she cured her. You're going to cure yourself. Okay? Let's make that clear. We're not making claims that she's going to cure you. She's not selling a pill. You're going to cure you. So, if you'd like to hear more, if you like what you heard today, we have an archives that is out of this world. I encourage you, scroll down the archives, Wherever you see Dr. Lathan, press click. We've done shows on different types of cancer. I mean, diabetes, arthritis, I mean, you name it. We did a show specifically for women. It's called Fit for a Queen. So if you scroll down the archives, I don't remember exactly which page it's on, but it's in there. It's called Fit for a Queen, Women's Health. Okay? So for all of you ladies out there who, you know, just don't know your bodies, it's important to know your body. Don't let other people take control of your health by suggesting you do this, you take this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And because you don't know your body or the body, period, you just go along with it and like, okay, doctor said I need to take this. Doctor said I need to take that. No. Be like Dr. Lathan. No, let me do some research. No, doc, we're not going to do that. No, you're not taking my thyroid. This is what we're going to do. And make sure that you get your medical records. Find out if you got a bad report. Find out what the doctor is looking at to make that determination. Find out what number that they're looking at to determine whether or not you're in good health or bad health, or whether your condition is progressing or if it's in remission or whatever. You find out what that number is and you get your medical records. Okay, you're intelligent, you can read, okay? And by all means, get in contact with Dr. Lathan for your personalized, customized nutritional consultation, okay? Thank you, everybody, for your time. My name is Jawanza. I don't take you for granted. I am certainly, certainly glad that you tuned in today. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? We'll be right back.